All right, well, this morning we continue our teaching series, The Simplicity of Christmas. And in case you didn't know, you know, Christmas is coming, okay? Just in case you didn't know, and you realize it's only 16 days away. Who has all their Christmas shopping all done? Who doesn't? I thought we had ours finished, and this morning when I asked that, my wife was at the early service. She says, oh, no, we still have a lot to do. And I'm going, what? I thought we were all done. And, you know, with Christmas, there always comes those demons of consumerism and materialism. I mean, gift catalogs still find their way, don't they, into our mailboxes, and consumer ads find their way into the inboxes of our email accounts, and they harass us on social media. And on Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, we find an incredible demonstration of marketing power. I mean, everything you could possibly imagine is suddenly for sale and on sale. And if you were brave enough to venture out on Black Friday this year, you may have experienced something like this. Let's watch this little video.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the happiest season of all. With those holiday greetings and gay happy meetings when friends come to call. It's the happiest season of all. There'll be parties for hosting, marshmallows for toasting, and caroling out in the snow. There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long.
That sure sounds, looks like fun, doesn't it? You know, that's why I love Amazon.com. There you go. I love that. But isn't that crazy? I mean, did anybody venture out on Black Friday this year? Anybody? You were like me, you're afraid to tell. All right, but you know what's I think is kind of ironic is that people are rushing out to take advantage of the latest sales right after Thanksgiving, a day we spend being intentionally thankful for the things we already have. And check this out. The other day I Googled on the internet the phrase 2018 Christmas shopping forecasts and trends. You know, you want to find some interesting data, just Google that phrase. And I found them to be the information I got a bit dismaying. Here's a snapshot of what I discovered. Of the people who incurred credit card debt during last Christmas, 14% of those are still trying to pay off their credit card debt. And consumers in the United States are expected, get this, to spend a whopping $1.1 trillion during the Christmas shopping season, a 6% increase over last year. And 32 million people, it said, were planning on shopping, Christmas shopping on Thanksgiving. Now, I don't know how many really did, but it estimated 32 million people were going to stop their Thanksgiving feasts to go shopping. And retailers have increased their efforts to make it easy for you to tell your family and friends what you want for Christmas via online wish lists, social media, and in-store apps. And I could not find a statistic on how many Christmas gifts are not wanted, needed, or liked by the recipient. However, I did learn that two-thirds of holiday shoppers return at least one gift they received, making the day after Christmas one of the biggest shopping days of the year. Therefore, with all this gift buying and the hustle and bustle of Christmas, we need to be careful that we don't miss Jesus, the reason for the season. So this year, let's do Christmas differently. Let's covenant together to simplify Christmas. Let's not let stress and busyness call the shots this season. Let's slow down, breathe deep, and work together to experience the wonder of God with us, God beside us, and God as one of us. Last week, we kicked off our series by following the wise men to the stable where Jesus was born, and we're encouraged to find time throughout Advent, throughout the season of Christmas, to slip away to the manger, to slip away to come and see, to take time to think about Jesus, what Jesus means to us, and what we mean to Jesus. And today we're going to once again follow the wise men to Bethlehem, where they bowed down and worshiped. Today we're going to see and experience that first Christmas through the eyes of the people who took the time to come and worship. So if you have a Bible, I invite you to take a hold of it and follow along as today we take a closer look at the journey of those who were willing to come and worship this simple child who is Christ the Lord. But first, let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Okay, let's get started. So today we're going to see and experience that first Christmas through the eyes of the people who took the time on that first Christmas day to come and worship. And to set the stage for us, let's take a look again at the wise men. And in Matthew 2, verses 9 through 11, we read, it says, "And the star they had seen in the east, the star the wise men had seen in the east, guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him." The wise men have a Jesus encounter. The wise men encountered Jesus. As a result, they were moved to worship. And what was true with them was true with all who encountered the Christ child on that first Christmas day. So as we slow down and simplify things this Christmas, let's enter into the story and kick things off by taking a look at Christmas again through the eyes of Mary, Jesus' mother. Now remember, Mary is a teenage girl. Many scholars say she's probably 12, but some say, well, maybe 12, 13, or 14. Nonetheless, she's very, very young. And she's engaged, as we know, to be married to a man by the name of Joseph. She's visited now by an angel who explains to her that she's to give birth to a son who she's to name Jesus, a child who will one day be king over every nation and whose kingdom will never end. So can you imagine if we were Mary and having the angel come and share that kind of message with us? Now understand, Mary is not only young, 12, 13, or 14, she's poor. I mean, she's really, really poor. She has next to no social status, and she's from a city nobody really cares about, kind of like Ann Arbor, you know, something like that. When she asked the angel how all of this will even happen, the angel explains that the baby will be conceived through the Holy Spirit. Now, and let's not miss this. Let's think about this for a moment. I mean, one moment, Mary's in her house, minding her own business, maybe even getting caught up on her chores before dinner. And then a massive glowing angel appears and says she's going to have a baby that will grow and save the world. Not just any old baby, but the baby who is the King of Kings, the Savior, the Messiah of the world. Now, Mary also knows that to be pregnant out of wedlock would be more than shameful in her village. I mean, it could even be a death sentence. It would bring shame on her family, most certainly on Joseph, her future husband. We can only imagine the worry and anxiety that she experienced at that moment. But her response is awesome. Her response is absolutely beautiful. Check out Luke chapter 1. Here Mary responds with a song of praise. After hearing all this, she says, "Oh, how my soul praises the Lord, how my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he took notice of his lowly servant girl. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One is holy, and he has done great things for me." You know, in the midst of the stress of the unknown, Mary chooses worship. In the midst of the angst over the unknown, Mary chooses worship. This communicates a profound truth for you and me. I mean, even in the midst of uncertainty, we can choose to worship. So let's not miss this. Remember, worship is a choice, and we're all choosing to worship something. The question isn't if we're worshiping, but what are we worshiping in our lives? And one of the things that I love about the Psalms in the Old Testament is that they're filled with accounts of individuals choosing to worship even in the midst of worry, in the midst of pain and uncertainty. Worry is no way disqualifies us from worship. Our lives may not be exactly as we had hoped or planned, and our lives may not look the way we wanted them to look. But we can choose to worship in the midst of uncertainty and fear. So like Mary, can that be a part of our story as well? Can we find ways to give praise to the God who loved us enough to send his son for us? Will we choose to not allow our circumstances to rule us, but instead respond to God in worship in every and all circumstances? So in the midst of the hustle and bustle of the season, let's simplify Christmas and find time to slip away to the manger, to slip away to that day long ago so we can come and worship. Let's take time to breathe and to slow down, and not allow our circumstances to rule as we bow down and worship Jesus, the Son of God, Jesus, the Wonderful Counselor, Jesus, the Prince of Peace. And as we slow down and simplify things this Christmas, let's enter into the story of Christmas and see it through the eyes of the shepherds. I mean, it's actually kind of amazing that we even really find the shepherds here in this story. I mean, shepherding may have been their original dirty job. I mean, these guys moved from place to place, never really having a proper home, and lived apart from normal society. They were always on duty protecting their sheep from predators. They faced danger at every turn and were not compensated very well for this task. In ancient Palestine, you know, there weren't Facebook groups for shepherds to connect with or a huge community of shepherds swapping best practices with one another. A shepherd had a tough way to hoe. A shepherd had a tough job. It was a lonely job. It was an isolated job. It was a dirty job. Shepherding was no easy task. And imagine if Jesus' birth happened today in the 21st century. Imagine the people with the dirtiest, least glamorous, most undesirable jobs in our culture. Imagine the people who live on the fringes, disconnected, and often feeling very alone. No one would expect them to play a prominent role in the Christmas miracle, in the Christmas story. But here are these shepherds with all sorts of undesirable tasks and responsibilities. And watch what happens. Let's go to Luke chapter 2. And here we read the story. "Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. But the angel reassured them, 'Don't be afraid,' he said. 'I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in highest heaven, and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased." Now, can you imagine this? Can you imagine being those shepherds, that band of shepherds that night? Can you imagine the glorious scene, the amazing things that happened there? But what I don't want us to miss is the shepherd's response then to all of this. When the angels had left them, the shepherds said to one another, they said, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." And they hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. Now, what's interesting was, you know, and I have to be honest with you, I guess I always overlooked this. I guess in my mind, I was of the feeling that when the angels came and says, "Boy, we got good news," you know, then the angel said, "Okay, now go check it out." But the angel just, after they sang their praise song, they left. And the shepherds were left just looking at you. "Well, that was kind of neat. What do we do now?" "Well, hey, what do you say? We go check this out for ourselves. Let's go see what we just heard about." You know, they made the decision. The angels didn't tell them to go. Nobody told them to. But after that great good news, they were left with the desire to go. They left everything behind then. They left everything behind. They left their sheep out in the field. They left everything, dropped everything, left their tasks and responsibilities. They set everything aside to pursue Jesus. They chose to come and worship the Savior who was born by joining the community of those huddled around a manger in the little town of Bethlehem. And let's face it, we all feel the weight of responsibility and the pressure of things to do and tasks that need to be done during the Christmas season. As a result, it can feel wrong and kind of downright dangerous to kind of step away in the midst of all the plethora of stuff we have going on this time of year. But the shepherds, now they took a step of faith and they experienced something that took their breath away. They found a king who offered a new vision for their lives. They stepped away from the isolation of their busyness and chose to worship the Christ child, the Lamb of God, the King of Kings. Even in the midst of busyness, we too can choose worship. In the midst of the hustle and bustle and the go here and go there, we can simplify Christmas and find time to slip away to the manger. We can slip away to the manger so we can come and worship the Christ child. So let's take time to breathe, to slow down as a community of faith so that we can bow down and worship Jesus, the Prince of Peace. And now we're back to the wise men. And although it was sometime later that the wise men actually showed up on the scene, we know they saw Jesus' star in the sky and went to Jerusalem in search of this new king. On their way, they met another king named Herod, and they asked Herod. They said to him in Matthew chapter 2, "Where is this newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." Now, when King Herod Do you remember the stories when King Herod heard the news? He played it cool, but he was not a happy camper to hear what these wise men had said. He's wondering to himself, has a rival king been born in my territory, in my kingdom? So he calls for the wise men to come and meet with him in private and ask them to let him know when they find this new king so that he too can come and worship him. Now, we all know that Herod had no intentions of bowing to this new king. So beginning in verse 9 of Matthew chapter 2, we read this. It says, after this interview, after this meeting with King Herod, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. You see, after finding Jesus, the wise men were left with a choice that we all face every day. They were stuck between two kings, two kingdoms. On the one hand, they had the kingdom of Herod, the kingdom of Rome. It was a kingdom of power, a kingdom of riches, a kingdom that could very well destroy them if they didn't bow to its wishes. And then they had another kingdom, a baby in a manger. Now, thankfully, they chose wisely. They recognized that true eternal greatness was asleep in his mother's arms, and they chose to worship Jesus with the very best they had. With their gifts, they honored him. With their gifts, they declared him to be the true king. And every day, we stand between two kingdoms. Each and every day, we're constantly standing the gap of two kingdoms. Will we bow down and worship the kingdom of consumerism, individuality, materialism, and the American dream? Or will we worship the one true king, the one we remember who was born in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes? Even in the midst of two kingdoms, though, remember, we can choose to worship the King of Kings. In the midst of the hustle and bustle of the season, let's simplify Christmas and find time to slip away to the manger so we can come and worship the King of Kings. Let's take time to breathe and to slow down and not worship the kingdom of consumerism, materialism, and individuality. Rather, the kingdom found in Mary's arms, the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths. Let us bow down and worship Jesus, wonderful counselor, King of Kings, Prince of Peace. So throughout this series, the simplicity of Christmas, we're being invited to keep our focus on Christmas by following the story of the wise men. First, they came to the manger and saw the Christ child. And then they came and they worshiped. And then they came and blessed. They gave gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So let's not forget that next Sunday, we're all invited to come and bless as we bring our gifts for the Christ child that will benefit the Warehouse Food Pantry, Mercy Macaulay Center, the Sycamore House Pregnancy Center of Champaign County, and the Urbana City Schools. This is a simple way to connect with others and share the love of Christ in tangible, simple ways. And don't forget, too, that again, Tuesday, December 18th, we will then deliver most of these collected items as we go caroling spreading the good news of Christmas to the community around us. So as we close this morning, I want to invite us all to make our pew or our chair an altar of prayer. And before we spend a few minutes of personal worship this morning, I want to talk about the breath prayer. So if you got your little breath prayer card that you received this morning, will you take that out? Take that out. Like I said, I put mine on my car ring right next to the Champaign Family YMCA. So there you go. This is when I work out, I need all the help I can get, okay? So as you can see, it says just breathe on one side. On the other, it has a very simple breath prayer. Jesus, let me rest in you. Now, a breath prayer is a short prayer that has been used since ancient times. I mean, as we breathe unceasingly, our breathing supports life and renews our bodies physically. When we use the breath prayer throughout the day, it supports and renews life and renews us spiritually as well. The breath prayer is intentionally short, meant to be used in one breath, thus its name, breath prayer. So as we breathe in, we fix our eyes on Jesus. As we breathe out, we say our breath prayer. Jesus, let me rest in you and focus on the Savior, the Christ who came and who lives and reigns today in our hearts and lives. So throughout the day, when we find ourselves overwhelmed by the hustle and bustle of the season, or feeling anxious and overwhelmed, or just grateful that Christ has come, let's reach for our keys or wherever we might put it. And then we breathe in, fix our eyes on Jesus. Then we breathe out in focus as we pray simply, Jesus, let me rest in you. You know, sometimes we go through life, things happen. Sometimes things happen all at once. Grab those car keys. Grab those keys. Breathe in, fix our eyes on you. Breathe out, focus. Jesus, let me rest in you. They remind us that the Christ who came on that first Christmas day long ago still lives and reigns today and is ready to take the burdens, to take the load, to help us slow down and remember Jesus, the reason for the season. In the midst of praise, in the midst of thanksgiving, we can again, Jesus, let me rest in you as I praise you for the difference you make in my life. So many ways that we can apply this very simple breath prayer to help us fix our eyes on Jesus. And then focus, Jesus, let me rest in you. Which reminds us, you know, that we're not in charge. We often like to take the wheel from Jesus, but we got to give him the wheel. It's all about him. It's not about us. We just need to rest in his presence in the midst of difficulty, challenges, craziness. Rest in the one who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ever ask or imagine. So as we once again prepare ourselves to celebrate the greatest story the world has ever known, let's agree together to simplify Christmas. Let's take time to breathe, fix, breathe out. Jesus, let me rest in you. Fix and focus, fix and focus. Let's take time to breathe, slow down, and find time to slip away to that manger, so we can come and worship the King of Kings. And let's remember that worship is a choice, remember, it's a choice. And we can choose to fully worship the one who is always Jesus, the King, the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior of the world. So let's close by taking a time of taking a moment to worship Jesus, our King, by using our breath prayer. Okay, so let's remember, breathe in, and we fix our attention on Jesus. Then we breathe out and say our simple prayer, Jesus, let me rest in you. Fix, focus. Breathe in, breathe out. Fix, focus. Jesus, let me rest in you. So let us take time right now in our own way to spend time in worship together using that breath prayer. Fix, focus. Let us be silent now before God.